Good morning, everyone. Shalom, shalom. Those of you in the gallery, can you wave at me as well? Good morning, shalom to everyone. And those of you online, shalom. Now, we are currently on a three-week series focusing on disciple making. And if you recall, I started the series 2 weeks ago by addressing the urgency of becoming a great on mission church. No, I mean not becoming, right? I talk about the urgency of not becoming a great on mission church. And last week, if you recall, Pastor Ming Cham followed up with a second installment. Pastor Ming Cham is the true legend, just in case you do not know. Right? So Pastor Ming Cham followed up with the second installment and show us the different areas that we could grow in know, walk, relate, share, and serve. We call it KWRSS for short. And today, I will continue with the series, the last installment, focusing on the challenges of the Great Commission. The challenges. And the big idea for today is Christ commands us to raise committed disciple makers who will persevere in disciple making. Now, let me begin by sharing an incident that I had with my son. A few months ago, I bought a new fan and I ordered the fan online. And when the fan was delivered, I asked my son, who was very free, right? My youngest, after PSLV, he had nothing to do. I told him, hey, can you just follow the instruction that came with the package? And I said, can you set up the fan for all of us to use? So after that, I left for a home visit with Evelyn. And when I came back at night, about 10 plus, I was very happy to see a brand new fan ready for use, standing there. And I was happy, not because of the fan that was set up. My greatest joy was that my son followed my instructions and finished the work I assigned him. That was my greatest joy. Similarly, church, do you know that our Lord Jesus has also given us instructions to complete an assignment? And that assignment is the Great Commission of being disciple makers who produce other disciple makers. Now, how many of you here, as you listen to what I say, how many of you here, you want Christ to be pleased with you when you see him face to face? How many of you? About 20 of you? One more time, all right? How many of you really want to please the Lord when you see him face to face? Yeah, many of us, most of us here. And if we want to be obedient to the Great Commission, we must overcome the challenges that will prevent us from completing Christ's assignment to us. Now, there are several challenges that will hinder us from Christ's assignment or commission to us. And let's examine right now the first challenge, which I will call it the discipleship process challenge. Now, for the challenge of this discipleship process, we need to revisit the Great Commission from Matthew 28, verse 18. Now, this is a passage that we have visited the last few weeks, but let me repeat it again. It says here in verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Because of the authority given to Christ, and with the authority, Christ then said this in verse 19, go therefore, that means where, as you go, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Now, 2 weeks ago, I explained the context in which Christ gave the command to be disciple makers. And Christ gave very clear instructions to the disciples to go and find pre-believers, number one, and then followed by lead them to become baptized believers, and then teach them to adhere to Christ's command to be disciple makers. So if you notice, within this Great Commission, there are three broad strokes, and these three broad strokes contain many micro steps from the pre-believer stage to that of a disciple maker. For example, now there are many steps to bring someone to the Lord. which usually takes time. You need, first of all, to pray for the pre-believer, right? You must pray for them. And then after you pray for them, you must have spiritual conversations with them to bring the person closer to Christ and eventually lead the person to pray and accept the Lord into his life. Now, this entire process can take months and maybe even years just for the first broad stroke to happen. And thereafter, there are many, many other micro steps to lead someone through water baptism, which is a very important external expression of one's loyalty to Christ. So the new believer must first forsake all other gods and make Jesus Christ the Lord and King in his life in this second broad stroke of going through water baptism. So the new believer may have to withstand family objections to express his allegiance to Christ. This step can be difficult for many, especially in our Asian context, right? So after water baptism comes the third broad stroke. This involves living out one's life in obedience to Christ's teaching and becoming a disciple maker. Now, this is the longest process of a disciple's life, where he needs to know God's word, mature in his faith, and then lead other pre-believers to Christ as disciple maker. So you can see, right, that there are many, 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 many steps just to move from the pre-believer stage to that of a disciple maker. And as a result of this long process of spiritual growth, many believers stop somewhere in this process without realizing it. So if you were to relook at the Great Commission with this background, you would see that it sounds simple, but it is not easy to accomplish. Given the complexity involved in these three broad strokes of the Great Commission, different churches have come up with different strategies to accomplish Christ's command. And then let me share with you how some churches will do the Great Commission. On one extreme, I'm talking about extreme, huh? On one extreme, some churches will be very militant in mandating that everyone in the church must be a disciple maker. Go, evangelize, get people saved, and disciple them. And if you are not involved, right, in a disciple-making process in these extreme churches, you will be asked to move on to another church. They call it move on. That's one extreme. I'm talking about one extreme. Okay, this is one extreme. The other extreme right now, let me go to the extreme. The other extreme is that churches do not have time to engage in disciple making. So what do they do? Well, very simple. They employ full-time staff to do it for them. So in these churches, right, the members will give financially, but will have the full-time staff to do the disciple making. The members will hold the staff accountable, especially when the full-time staff does not produce the required number of disciples per year. So the full-time staff will run many programs and events in the church to get people saved, follow up with the discipleship of these new converts. So the full-time staff members are actively pursuing the Great Commission, whereas the members, on the other hand, are passively involved. So therefore, we can see both of these extremes, and these two extremes are not the correct model taught in the scriptures to us. Now, let's unpack right now, what is the correct model for disciple-making from God's word? And let me begin unpacking this from Ephesians 4, verse 11. 4:11 says this, "And Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now, this passage clearly tells us the intent of the fivefold ministries of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Their role, their ministries, are to equip God's people for the work of the ministry, to build up the body, and to help believers become stable and mature in Christ. Very clearly written in this passage here. And when that happens, what is the result? The body of Christ will be strong and united against all wrong teaching and deceitful schemes. So God calls the full-time pastoral staff to function in the fivefold ministries to equip God's people and to build up the body. Now, does that mean that someone who is not a full-time staff cannot function then in the fivefold ministries? The answer is no. Everyone can function in the fivefold ministries if God calls one to operate in them. And that's why in Grace, in our church, we have bivocational ministers recognized by the body here to function in these fivefold ministries. We call them bivocational ministers because they are not full-time paid staff, but are serving the Lord as pastoral staff while working in the marketplace. And my prayer is to see many more, many, many more bivocational ministers raised in our church. Can somebody say amen? And to release the body to function in the fivefold ministries. Now, coming back right now to the question, what is the right model for the Great Commission? The right model is found in between the two extremes that I mentioned just now. And how does, or what does this right model look like? Very simple. It looks like this. The pastoral team equips the body and enables all believers to do disciple making. The pastoral team should not be the only ones doing the work of the ministry. We are here to create a system and provide a clear process to train and equip you for the work of the ministry. And we will do the ministry together with you. So the full-time staff must never, never, never rob you of the joy and the privilege of participating in the Great Commission. But more importantly, all of us, we will all stand before God to account for our participation in disciple making, in the Great Commission. And I don't wish for that day to come where you stand before God, you say, God, it's all Pastor Wilson's fault for robbing me of the opportunity to be involved in the Great Commission. I don't wish that, my friend. And that's never the intent and purpose. All right, we must never rob you of the joy, privilege to be part of the Great Commission. So with this understanding of the fivefold ministries, let me now zoom out to address the challenge of disciple-making process. Now, because the disciple-making process is lifelong and tedious, we must not let it happen only by chance. Anything that happens by chance is accidental. The Great Commission cannot be left to happen accidentally, but it must occur intentionally. And for disciple-making to be intentional, we have spent the last four and a half years now, designing an intentional disciple-making pathway, which Pastor Ming Cham has explained last week. And this pathway removes the uncertainty of the guesswork in disciple-making. When right now there's a pathway that provides a clear, systematic, and repeatable process to help anyone who wants to grow spiritually in this local church. Now, however, I'm also aware that not everyone is ready to take on disciple-making just because it is written in the Bible. Yes, it is a command of Christ, but not everyone can drop everything today and be an intentional disciple maker tomorrow. I understand that. Why? Because many of us have life commitments because of the life stage that we are in right now. So what happens? What happens if you're not ready to take on disciple making. Be assured, my friend. So be very assured that we are not one of the extreme churches that I mentioned just now, where we ask you to look for another church. We are not like that. We are not, all right? We are Grace Assembly, where we are gracious. Gracious to anyone who wants to, but is not yet ready for it. So please, please, settle what you need in your current life stage right now. Please go and settle it. No pressure at all, settle them. And when you are ready to be part of the Great Commission, then come and be equipped through our disciple-making pathway and begin the journey of disciple-making. So we understand that. And you must understand, church, that we will never, never force you to do something that you are not ready or unwilling to do right now. The Great Commission is not something that we can force upon you. Why? Because it must be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must convict you to action. And once you're convicted in your heart, then come and join us on this disciple-making journey. And as your spiritual leader, I'm not here to force the Great Commission on you. Yes, we took 3 weeks to talk about it, but I cannot force it on you. My role is to share Christ's command with you regarding the Great Commission and create the pathway for you to be involved. But it must be the Holy Spirit who will convict and move you to action. So therefore, we will give everyone time to join us and we will persevere to create a disciple-making culture among us. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So tell our neighbor on your left and right, tell them right now, we will persevere in disciple-making. Now, someone asked me recently, he said, so Pastor, what happens to the 5 strategic pillars now that you are leading us into disciple-making? Now, for those of you who are new to Grace, let me show you, right, the 5 strategic pillars that we have. They are namely missional disciples, next generation, family and marriage, community outreach, and missions. If you examine carefully, the 3 pillars of missional disciples, next generation, and family and marriage are about disciple making within the church. And for us to raise missional disciples, impact the next generation, and strengthen family and marriage among us, we must have a systematic and intentional process to achieve it. It cannot be just these nice pillars that hang on the wall, right? And then we leave it there. No, we must have an intentional pathway to make it happen. So our 5 pillars are still guiding us as the North Star in working out the disciple-making strategies in Grace Assembly. And we are very serious about it. We will not allow it to be pillars that hang on the wall, look very nice, look very colorful, but we don't do anything about it. No. Our desire is to see many more people transform to be more like Jesus Christ. Can someone say amen? Now, however, we also know that the transformation of lives can be messy at times. And this is where I want to move into the next challenge in the Great Commission. The challenge of spiritual formation. I can even call it the messiness of spiritual formation. So what is spiritual formation? Dallas Willard defines spiritual formation as the process of transformation of the inmost dimension of the human being, the heart, which is the same as the spirit or will. It is being formed, really transformed, in such a way that its natural expression comes to be the deeds of Christ done in the power of Christ. I know some of you say, wow, Pastor, what's that? That's Dallas Willard for you. Those of you who enjoy his reading, right? Very deep. So in essence, what does it really mean? Let me just sum it up. In essence, spiritual formation is the transformation of the heart where one becomes more like Jesus Christ. And this transformation of the inner transformation of the heart is well captured right now in 2 Peter 1:5. Let me read to you. It says this in 2 Peter 1:5.
For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. So you can see from this passage, right, that spiritual formation process is not solely a work of the Holy Spirit alone. The passage instructs us to make every effort to do what? To partner with the Holy Spirit for the inner transformation of our hearts. And to me, the heart transformation is the toughest part of disciple making. Even our Lord Jesus underwent a tedious process with his disciples' heart transformation. And let me give you two examples. Two examples right now of the difficulty of spiritual formation in the lives of the 12 disciples. Let me begin with the first one found in Matthew 16 now. Matthew 16 verse 15 says this, and Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So Simon Peter, in this passage here, he was praised for receiving a special revelation of Christ from God the Father. Now let's see what happened right now, four verses later. Look at what happened in verse 21. It says here, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Christ," right, "saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you.' So Christ turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.'" So Christ rebuked Peter for setting his mind on the things of man and not on the things of God. Well, just four verses earlier, he had a special revelation from God. So we can see, right, the stark change of tone towards Peter from someone with a special revelation to someone who was a hindrance to Christ. You can see the change, the difficulty of heart transformation in this passage, the dealing with Simon Peter. Another example from James and John, who wanted positions of power among the disciples. So their mother came to ask for her two sons to sit on the left and on the right of Christ in the kingdom of God. And when Christ heard it, he rejected her request and told her that she had overstepped her boundary to ask for such a matter on behalf of her sons. So you can see, right, that I've raised two of the many spiritual formation issues among the disciples that Christ had to deal with. Therefore, as a church, we must be ready to handle many, many messy spiritual formation issues when we embark on the journey of disciple making. And for us, right, to overcome some of the challenges in spiritual formation, we need to have this word called accountability. Say with me, accountability. Now, many of us, we dislike being accountable to someone regarding our spiritual formation. I've even heard among believers, right, telling me that, "You know, Pastor, you don't understand, right? I don't like accountability because I'm only accountable to God himself and not to men, because men is fallible." Now, it's not wrong to say that we are accountable to God. It's not wrong. But it is not a complete understanding of our disciple-making journey as per scriptures. Now, let's see right now what the Bible says about accountability in the faith community. In James 5:16, it says this, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray
for one another, that you may be healed. And the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So this passage here instructs us to confess our sins to each other so that we can gossip and tell others about juicy stories of our lives. No. That's not the reason, right? The reason for confession is to pray for healing for each other through mutual accountability. And through relational accountability, we can bring healing into each other's lives. Let's look at another passage in Hebrews 13:17. It says this, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that will be of no advantage to you. Now, this is yet another very clear instruction where your spiritual leaders must give an account over you. Frankly, how I wish, right, this verse was not in the, it's not in the Bible, so that I can free all spiritual leaders from such an obligation, right? It's very fierce, you know, you must give an account. How I wish we can free all of us from this. But it is there in the scriptures. We don't like accountability, but we need it. We need it to protect us from falling away in our relationships with God. Now, let me reinforce my point right now through this illustration. Let me ask a question. How many of you here, you can drive a car? You can drive. You have a license to drive. Raise your hands. How many of you? Many of you, at least 40, 50% of you guys can drive. Now, whenever you drive a car on the road, right, and you see the police with a speed checking device pointing at your car, what would you do? Will you shift your foot from the accelerator to the brakes, or will you step on the accelerator even more? Now, how many of you will slow down your car when you see the speed checking device pointing at you on the road? How many of you? How many will step on the accelerator? 3-4 of you who don't have license, I can see that, yeah. Just joking, right? Now, most of us will shift our legs from the accelerator to the brakes, right? Why? Because somehow when someone is checking us, we just want to be safe, you know, we don't pay the extra bill unnecessarily, we just shift, even sometimes when we are within the limits. You see, accountability works the same way. It's the same. We need someone who cares enough to check on us and align us back to God's word when we stray or when we are about to stray. We need someone to come alongside, encourage us, spur us in our spiritual disciplines of fasting, praying, and reading God's word, and more so, how we treat our spouse at home. We need someone to step into our lives and ask difficult questions for us to reflect on our behaviors when no one is looking at us. And part of the disciple-making journey is to provide such accountability where one can be transparent to his discipler. We need mutual accountability, church, to hasten the process of deep transformation of the heart within us. So the question is this, where can you find a good discipler to help you in this accountability journey of spiritual formation? Well, let me suggest this. Begin by looking at someone of the same gender in your grace group whom you can trust. And if you cannot find someone suitable in your small group, it's okay. Then look for someone within Grace Assembly. Grace Assembly, I believe, is huge enough for you to look. And if you still cannot find anybody suitable in Grace Assembly, then look for a trusted and mature person in the body of Christ. That's even bigger, right? So this is something you can do right now. Ask the Lord to show you whom you can approach to be a disciple over your life. Now, besides looking for someone to disciple you, please also consider being a disciple maker if you have been a Christian for some years now. You know, in Grace Assembly, we are blessed. We are blessed with many, many mature and stable believers among us. And it is time for some of you to take on someone and be a disciple maker in obedience to the Great Commission. Now, some of you may ask, you say, Pastor, can I be a disciple maker given that I still have struggles and challenges in my life? And the answer to you is, yes, you can. Christ did not call us to be perfect before we can be disciple makers. As long as you are growing as a believer, you can disciple those newer to their faith and help them become more like Jesus Christ. And for those of you who are interested in being a disciple maker, please fill up the form, and the form that's on the screen right now, and we will meet up with you and help you with the next steps. We have prepared for you guys different next steps you can take in this journey, in this pathway of disciple making. So sign up and we will inform you and we'll meet up with you to tell you more. And as we embark on this disciple making journey, we seek your understanding that we may not have all the answers to the disciple making process. It may even appear messy and disorganized at times. And as your spiritual leader, I am ready for the church to have some form of messiness as we obey the Great Commission. Some of the messiness can be in finding the right disciples, understanding the disciple-making pathway, or even just handling the different spiritual formation issues with your disciples. And church, I want you to know that I would rather have messiness in the church because we are obeying Christ than to have an orderly church without following Christ's command. So I want to assure all of you, it's okay. It's okay to be messy when we obey the Lord. Can somebody say amen? Now, talking about finding a discipler. As your SP, you know, I did have difficulty trying to find disciples for myself in Grace Assembly the day I joined this church. You see, most would expect me to be their discipler and not be their disciple. So since I couldn't find suitable disciples in Grace, I went outside of Grace to look for not one, but I had two outside of Grace. Because I know the importance of having disciples in my life, and more so because of my role as a spiritual leader. I need someone to check me. I need someone to come alongside me and ask me the tough questions in my life. What have I been watching? How is my relationship with Evelyn? I need someone to ask me those tough questions and give me a safe space for accountability. And I have two very seasoned spiritual leaders who are my spiritual directors and mentors working closely with me. And I want you to know that they are a gift to me in helping me to grow in my spiritual relationship with God and with people around me. And as I disciple others, I also need others to disciple me. It's about experiencing disciple making and doing the same with others through what I have experienced. Is it easy, if you ask me, is it easy for me to have time for disciple making? I tell you, no. I have many, many ministries to provide leadership for. But yet, I know in my heart, I must make time and persevere in what Christ has commanded me to do. That is disciple making. Yes, the Great Commission of Christ is not an easy task to do. It's not. But we will persevere to raise committed disciple makers who will produce other disciple makers regardless of the challenges, regardless of how messy it can be. And we will persevere and be obedient to Christ's command in this local body. Can somebody say amen? With every head bowed, every eye closed among us, I believe that God has spoken to different ones of you here from His Word. And this morning, as you hear God's Word, you sense that God wants you to be involved as a disciple maker. Yes, some of you here, you used to do it in the past, but somehow, because of business, because of stage of life, you have stopped. You have stopped because of the life issues that you are going through right now. And today, you want to embark on the journey of disciple-making again. to journey with someone from the pre-believer stage to become a mature believer and to see the process replicate. So to see this person replicate the process with others. And you want God to restart the engine of disciple making again in your life. And if that's you, you say, God, I've done it in the past. As I hear your word today, I want to do it again in my life. God, help me to restart the engine of disciple making again. If that's your desire, all over this place, I want you to lift your hands to the Lord right now and say, God, help me to restart this engine again. Thank you. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Thank you. I see the hand on my left. Thank you. Thank you. Many hands. Thank you. On my right, thank you. Lift your hands to the Lord if you know God is speaking to you right now. Thank you. And the gallery on the top, on my right, thank you. I believe God is speaking to many of you because as I look across this place, I sense so many of you have done it in the past. And it's time to restart the engine again. Because the Great Commission cannot stop. It has to be intentional. And the Lord is calling some of you right now to restart the engine. If that's you, lift your hands all over this place. If that's you. Thank you. Thank you. Many hands. Thank you. Thank you behind on my right. Thank you. Thank you. Allow the Lord to speak to you today. The second group of us, you're not ready to be a disciple maker as yet, but you know it's part of Christ's commission to all of us. You want the Holy Spirit to help you, to help you to be more ready in the next 1 year. And you're saying, God, help me to be more ready, to be more ready to be a disciple maker in the next 1 year. If that's your desire, if that's you, lift your hands all over this place right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Many hands. Thank you. That's right. Thank you. You say, God, help me to be more ready. Let me settle my life stage. Help me to settle my life stage so that I can be ready in the next 1 year. If that's your commitment to the Lord, lift your hands all over this place. Thank you. On my left, thank you. Thank you. The last group of us, I believe God is speaking to different ones of us regarding the need for heart transformation. You want to grow spiritually and you don't want to stagnate in your spiritual formation. And you know in your heart that you need someone to journey with you. You need a disciple maker to walk with you and help you in your inner life transformation, in your inner life formation. And you want God to help you find a good discipler who will walk with you. You say, God, I need somebody to walk with me. God, help me to find a good discipler in my life. If that's your desire, lift your hands all over this place right now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I see your hand, thank you. On my right, thank you. On my left, thank you. Right on top, I see your hand, thank you. On my left, at the gallery, thank you. Church, would you stand with me all over this place right now? And as we respond to the Lord, as I mentioned earlier, I cannot force God's word upon you. I cannot force the Great Commission on you. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And today, if you sense the Holy Spirit convicting your heart with regards to what has been shared today and the last 3 weeks, I want you to bring yourself to the Lord right now and say, God, I present my life, all that I have to you. Use my life as a vessel for your glory, for your purpose, for the establishment, for the fulfillment of Great Commission. If that's your desire, individually, even as husband and wife, I want you to bring yourself to the Lord right now and say, God, I come before you with the different issues in my life. May my life be used by you as a disciple maker. If that's your desire, come to the altar right now. Those of you who raise your hands, you may come as well. Come to the Lord right now as I open the altars. We want to pray with you. We want to journey with you together in this pathway, this journey of disciple making. First song, first word, let's respond to the Lord right now.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
Come, if you have responded, you've lifted up your hands, just come to the front right now. We'd love to pray with you wherever you are. Husband and wives, you're going to do this today. Just step out of your seats. Just come to the front.
I give you praise.
Just take the next step. Make this commitment with the Lord.
All that I adore is in you.
for the rest of us, let's just begin to sing this song. Let's respond.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I wake.
Even if you're in the gallery, you can come, you can make your way down, wherever you are. Online as well, just respond.
This is my desire to honor you, to honor you with all my heart, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. We give you all our worship and all.
Let's declare it out. Lord, I give you my heart.
Always sing it out. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
I live for you.
I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. You have